Giants fans, welcome to Big Blue All Day, the podcast that brings you New York football Giants content all day long, where your hosts toe-tap the line between podcast professionals and a bunch of fanatics talking shit at the end of the bar. Don't forget to check out our print content at bigblueallday.com and rate and subscribe wherever podcasts are found. Adult content ahead, because you know, we're doing it live. Mac is back, baby, COVID and all. Here in the power chair and on the line, we have Disciple, also known as Tracksuit Guy, and Rob Way Tommy. Boys, it's Victory Monday. We got the Daniel Jones court, as always, and we'll take a look at the final stretch of the season on today's episode. But take it away, gentlemen. We actually have something to be excited about, Giants fans. Let's go.
Oh, I think we just saw the emergence of Kayvon Thibodeau. I think that's probably the most important takeaway from yesterday. The O-line has taken a big step with Ben Bredesen.
Let's stick on Thibodeau.
Well,
Tommy.
On Rawway arriving today at work in my Bill Parcells sweater, Giants regalia, you know, everything going, pep in my step. That's a big win in primetime, which, as Giant fans, we know usually we get all hyped up, we get ready, we go to the bar, we get some food out in the house, and what happens? By the second quarter, we're going to bed early and just saying, I can't watch the rest of this. Just primetime history. A young Mr. Primetime, Kayvon Thibodeau, said he likes to play at night. Primetime loves him. I mean, he 9 tackles.
It was 12.
Nine total. 3 assists. But, I mean, to start the game, no sacks, but 3 huge tackles for loss. And it built up to that strip sack, Osiu Mainora. Lawrence Taylor, like you look at the highlight film, if there's a highlight film in the future, I'm not saying he's Lawrence Taylor. I'm not saying we're at OC or Michael Strahan yet, but that play is going to be on there. Just like, you know, we see those plays where LT was taking a ball out of the quarterback's hands. You know, OC's big night against Philly on Sunday night. Gentlemen, we just clinched, not to celebrate something silly, but the Giants are not going to have a losing record for the first time since 2016.
That is not silly, Tommy. Let's take a moment.
Winning season since 2016. So
that is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
We're going to be at least a 500 team in a year that no one expected. That 8 wins, 9 wins, maybe. We would have been happy at the beginning of the year. 6 wins, we would have been doing cartwheels, watching these other teams play in the playoffs. But Thibodeau has a big night. A couple plays that went unnoticed. You see him chasing down Terry McLaurin after he might have over-pursued a little bit, made up for it, made a tackle from behind. The play that he made on Heinicke at the goal line, I know they said Heinicke was falling down, but Wink dropped him into coverage, and he comes up and he stops the play at the goal line, or there's a touchdown there.
Tommy, let me jump in right there, and just we'll stick on Thibodeau, but I think you're coming to the point that I was going to pose this question for, right? Yes, the sack, the strip sack, the fumble recovery, the TD, the 3 tackles for a loss, like all of those things are impressive. He talked the talk and walked the walk, to your point about his primetime comment. But he was downfield 5, 6 different times. I mean, you could not watch this game without seeing number 5 all over the field, the ones that you mentioned, other times being the guy that ran 20 yards downfield to chase someone that had escaped into the second or third level of the defense. I mean, this guy was a freak last night, but all not just with the big plays, but with the hustle, with the getting after it, doubt in coverage, show his versatility. So what I'm asking both of you is how fucking stupid does every prognosticator look that was like, oh, well, Thibodeau doesn't love football, really question his commitment to the game. That's why he dropped. I mean, the Giants looks like geniuses.
They probably
that was the big knock on him.
we actually have some draft deception for once. It's not hearing about, oh, the Giants love Leonard Floyd 2 weeks before the draft. You know what I mean? Thank God those days are behind us.
And I'll tell you the he was working so hard. I mean, there were times where he was out, where you're like, he's off the field, but the kid needed a breather, and that was the big play that Sexy Dexy made. Williams was the first one in there. Aziz is in there. They shared that sack, and Dexy makes that play on Heinicke with the turnover. Huge play there, because you know what? One of the negatives was, I thought, on these third and longs, we were giving them too much, and we know how Ron Rivera is. He's going to gamble. He's going to take a shot. hey, if it's five, I'll go for it. I believe in my guys. That play, if the turnover doesn't happen, he was running the field goal team on. So that was a huge play. The rest of the defense played well. The supporting guys, because this guy's doing what he's doing, you activate Landon Collins, who only had three tackles, one solo and two shared.
They were
huge. Had a huge, huge third and three stop in the second half. So all these little things start to happen because this guy's the, you know, the engine that's running that defense. And
Tony Jefferson as well. Tony Jefferson, in addition to Landon Collins, had a very solid game. I think they both played around, you know, 15 to 20 snaps each, essentially playing linebackers. They were not playing in the safety position necessarily. Pinnock and Love were taking over those duties. So
Pinnock has some good pass breakups as well.
And a sack, if memory serves, or a good pressure on a cornerback blitz, or I guess a DB blitz.
Oh yeah, I think you're right.
So let's flip to the other side of the ball, but quickly just acknowledge some of these stats that you mentioned on the D line. This is very exciting, right? This is what, the second game that we've had this front four together. Sexy, and I do mean sexy. He literally introduced himself as Sexy Dexter Lawrence in the pregame intros, which you love to see it.
Sexy Dexy. Clemson.
Half sack, three QB hits, five pressures, a forced fumble, 90.2 PFF score. Azeez, half sack, two QB hits, five pressures, forced fumble, four solo tackles, and a 79.4 PFF. Leonard had multiple plays throughout the game. We've already talked about Thibodeau. I mean, this defensive line, when it has all four players, now, I don't understand how we can't stop the run to save our goddamn life. You know, maybe that's a linebacker issue. But on the pass rush, you got to be excited with what we're seeing right now.
Absolutely.
You know, man. and big confidence in each other. You know, you heard it, Thibodeau, if you listen to him in a press conference, talking about Azeez, you know, Dexter Lawrence, with just that talk, not overly confident. Just he is who he is, and he's there to play. Leonard Williams coming back, being healthy, the big cat out there. That's a scary front. And Washington's was the one that was talked about early in the game. And then you kind of saw Tirico and Collinsworth start to really, you know, hammer home on how good the Giants' D-line was playing. So, again, go back to the offensive line, how well we played against a really tough defensive line. You know, we ran the ball, you know.
Tommy, that's an excellent segue. I want to jump right into the offensive line. I'm sorry to cut you off, but hey, we're positive. It's Victory Monday. Let's go. The Giants got it done. A lot of reason to be excited. But let's have some real talk right now. Evan Neal. Second game back from the injury.
Looks
has had
not good.
Terrible. Five pressures, two false starts. Yes, there were no sacks, but I'm going to put that more on the offensive scheme and Daniel Jones getting the ball out.
He
looked like he shouldn't have been on the same field as Montez Sweat. He was belittling him. Worst rated Giants offensive player. Not that the PFF is the be-all, end-all, but a 44 overall score. Run blocking was decent, but the pass protection is real concerning.
You know, not the Holy Bible, right, on every player, but he's 38th out of 39 rated at his position at the beginning as they're introducing by PFF. So the play's got to improve. You know, it was getting a little better. Unfortunately, I think the injury kind of, you know, slowed the development down. But I was a really, really, really big concern for me at the beginning of the game with Sweat. I don't think it was great by any means, but at least, you know, the scheme helped the kid in this case and kept Sweat off of DJ for the most part. And with the penalties, you know, we've mentioned, you know, and I'm sure everybody's hearing about the end of the game, but, you know, this is the first time the ball bounced in the Giants' way in that case.
I mean, we got away with one. Let's call it what it is.
They didn't even see it. They were focused on whatever else. I don't know, but. We definitely, you know, we got away with it. We're lucky it actually bounced in our favor for once. I mean,
and the McLaurin penalty, I really don't feel, you know, sorry for these guys. These receivers, from the time they're kids, you're outside there, you're asking that line judge, am I on? Am I off? So you want to show me this video where they're both pointing. They're communicating. He's got to know he needs to be on there, especially that close to the end zone. Where they're watching and somebody's that close to you, so you got to get confirmation that you're on there, and he definitely, you know, thought he had it, whatever, but he was not on the line.
Well, let's call it what it is. Commander penalties cost them this game. The Giants have to be getting some good luck, and they did for once. You know, the defense held up strong when it needed to. I gave up an absurd amount of rush yards yet again. I don't understand why they didn't just hand it off to Brian Robinson every single down. But the Giants stopped them 1-for-10 on third downs. So in the big moments, they came up big. On offense, just got enough done. Yes, Neal had a terrible game, but the other four, very solid. Only a few pressures along the entire offensive line. And look, Gano's the guy, 250-plus yard field goals. Richie James, a much maligned person on this podcast, no less, had some very clutch first downs. And Saquon, we'll get to him in a moment, yeah. But despite being a ghost for most of the game, I mean, that the last drive.
That drive. And that, how about the will of the offensive line just, I mean, just pushing, bulldozing.
18 yards, 13 yards, 15 yards, three in a row. And that clock was just disappearing. Gano came through for the second time from 50. You know, the play on the touchdown, the direct snap to Saquon, the big screen play to Richie James on the third down. It took me back to the beginning of the season, the creative play calling, the things that we need to do, because we might not have that same, you know, position group when it comes to wide receiver. We don't have the same maybe talent on the offensive line.
All of this boils down to, how does Daniel Jones fit? Well, that brings us to the Daniel Jones court. Daniel Jones' entire season is an audition to be the long-term answer. Jones is 8-5-1. However, until a new contract is signed, the jury is still out.
ESPN.com had a great article today about everybody's quarterbacks and who's going to be there next year and what type of money guys were looking at and contracts. And their prediction was keeping him at 2 years, $40 million. It's something that could happen. You're not going to keep him on backup money. I think he showed enough that somebody gives him a shot if you lowball him there. 21 for 32, only 160 yards. So we know what the haters are saying. He's a game manager, you know, a Trent Dilfer, you know, that type of quarterback. He runs the ball a little bit. He does some things that we needed him to do. He had some big runs and some big spots.
Anybody who watches these football games and thinks that Daniel Jones belongs in a conversation, with all due respect to Trent Dilfer, think that they are both the same caliber quarterback, are stupid. That's what I'll call it. I'm not a Giants homer. Well, sure, I am. We're literally running a Giants podcast. But the point is, how can you possibly watch these football games and not see that Daniel Jones is part of the reason they're even able to survive?
65% pass completion percentage again in those 160 yards. He did what he needed to do. He's got the disciple, Rawway Tommy, and Roadhouse running patterns for him. All right, Richie James, Isaiah Hodgins, Darius Slayton with a big 5-for-23, Vanette off of the waiver wire, and Barkley catches a few because you got to get the ball to your best player. The guy doesn't have weapons. If he has an A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Justin Jefferson, these type of guys, Michael Pittman, guys that we're going to see in the next couple of weeks, what kind of numbers is he putting up? Not 160. If he's completing 65% to those types of players, you know, with Stephon Diggs, guys that are going to take the ball 40, 50, 60 yards after they get it in their hands.
Well, and not only the players, but two things with that.
They didn't this even touch downfield.
The average depth of target was a season low 3.9 yards. The Giants pass attack against the Commanders was essentially an extension of the run game and an acknowledgement that their offensive line was overmatched. Yes, we want to talk that the offensive line played well, but it was really a look. Their defensive front ruined the game plan 2 weeks ago. They had four sacks and a lot more pressures. We're not going to allow that to happen this week. We want to say that Daniel Jones is a game manager. I think he is doing exactly what needs to be done right now to win football games with this team. Also, all of his throws have to be perfect. Great. Let's applaud Richie James for making a couple clutch catches on 4th and 9 and 3rd and 8, I want to say. And the offensive line, frankly, for in those positions, having the time for us to make a play. But the reality is, go back and watch the tape. Every single one of Daniel Jones' passes have to be in the receiver's hands because they are draped all over, whereas Commander players are running completely free. Like, he is very accurate, The receivers are not getting separated, and there's still drops.
He's been dealing with drops all year. Slayton had a couple more last night. He's dealing with
Ballinger had a bad one.
Yes, he did, right in his hands.
Man,
you know, he definitely that fourth down, the third down to Richie James. You know, Danny Dimes, he had a couple last night that exactly when he threw it, I go, that's a dime. That's forcing the ball in there to where it needs to be. Not a bad force, but it needs to get in tight. It needs to get right in on these guys' hands, or else I'm going to be dealing with drops or, you know, a misplay.
Well, and it's not like the stars on this team, the few that the Giants have, are producing either. I love Barkley, I do. But the reality is, my dude was a ghost until the last drive of the game. And that drive was massive, and it was important, it was fun to watch. But the 97-yard touchdown drive that DJ led, he went 10 for 12. There were only four rushes from Barkley on that drive. Like, even the scenarios we want to say, oh, they got to feed Barkley, he has not been getting the job done over the last 3 to 4 games. This is a truly team effort led by the toughness of Daniel Jones. Like, the kid is getting crushed even when he gets the ball out. He is dropping his shoulder on run plays. No turnovers yet again. Like, I just, anybody that doesn't think he deserves another year, I just don't understand it. What's the bar?
What's the bar? If you've been tuning in, you kind of know where I lean when it comes to Daniel Jones. I'll tell you, the one play where he did fumble, but his knee was, he was down. First down there, it was second and one because he was down by contact. We got a slide there. All right, just A, to stay healthy. It's still early in the game. Third and fourth down late, that late one where he lowered the shoulder, that's when we want to see that. You know, a little early the first time. Thankfully, the knee was down. He was down by contact. You know, we survived there. I think he did what we needed him to do last night to win the game.
He did enough to win, but I'm still not sold, man. I don't know.
You don't need a game manager, but you need a guy that is in that room with his coordinator, with his head coach, and he carries out the game plan. Like, this is what we need to do to win, right? We always talk about New England throwing the ball 3 or 4 times and beating Buffalo. You know, these quarterbacks that do these things, you know, he's not a Patrick Mahomes, right? Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen is Josh Allen. I think this guy is the quarterback for the Giants, and I think he stuck to the plan last night.
Yeah,
all right, disciple, you said you need to see more. Then tell us right now. You know how it goes. If the season were to end today, put your Joe Shane cap on. What's the deal for Daniel Jones?
I'm just not sure if the other options are anybody's better right now for this team. I mean, I kind of do want to give him continuity, but, like, I need to see him beat – like, I need to see a win on Saturday against the Vikings. I do.
What does that change?
What do you mean? What does that change? That's a huge game.
How many times have you been quoted on this pod, mind you, disciple, that wins are not a quarterback stat? The question is, the season ends today. You're Joe Shane. Let's hear it. Sack up, bud.
Oh, I don't want to give more than 2 years.
Okay, what's the money? 2 years what?
You think we can get it for 18?
18
a year.
Doesn't matter what I think. You're Joe Shane right now, bud. Put
that's
your nuts on the table.
All right, so fine. That's a 2-year,
$36 million deal, fully guaranteed?
Honestly, if that would make him stay, yes.
Okay. Tommy, Joe Shane, let's hear it.
I don't know if 2 years is going to get it done. You know, he bets on himself, can go somewhere else, take a shot. And even if he doesn't pan out, you lose him. Maybe it worked here. I go 3 years, 75, around $24, $25 million.
Oh.
I'm to the point where if I can sign Saquon at a team-friendly, reasonable deal, I'd franchise him the non-exclusive $31.2 million. Everyone killed Washington for doing it with Kirk Cousins. Could Daniel Jones be as good as Kirk Cousins or better? I think so. With some added weapons. We've seen now what Cousins has evolved into. Had a rough first half last week. Brought his team back.
I don't think there's a world where Daniel Jones would be able to do that. Even with Justin Jefferson. I don't know.
I think that that's an absurd take from you to cycle. I'm more on Tommy's side. I'll go a little bit higher than what I said the other week with the Jameis Winston contract. It doesn't matter, though. There is no doubt in my mind that Daniel Jones is the best option for the New York Football Giants at quarterback next year and potentially beyond. So whether it is transition tag, franchise tag, or a 2 to 3 year deal that averages around $25 million, book it. Let's get him done and build around him. There's so many other things on this team that are a bigger problem than Daniel Jones right now. And with that, the court is adjourned. And now we move on to our favorite segment called What the F Would That Look Like? Each week, we take a hypothetical and discuss what the F would that look like if that were to come true.
What the F would this team look like if Xavier McKinney and Adoree Jackson come back and solidify the Giants' D?
Sacks. Sorry, Tommy.
I think that defensive backfield looks a lot better. That pressure is going to pick up because the guys are just not going to have as many places to put the football. McLeod's not covering people, okay? You have Xavier McKinney, Adoree Jackson covering T.J. Hockenson, covering Justin Jefferson. Is Adam Thielen healthy? They're covering him. You know, we're going to be playing against Michael Pittman in a couple weeks. Not that he's, you know, Jerry Rice by any means, but we'd rather these guys covering number ones and number twos, our upcoming opponents, as opposed to, you know, McLeod, you know, Pinnock. You know, these are guys that are coming off the bench, playing special teams, contributing a little as depth, you know, Jefferson, Landon Collins. I think we get a much improved defense, I think.
Yeah, we're missing the quarterback of our defense, man. Xavier McKinney is that guy for us. He wears the green dot.
I don't know that you take it away from Julian Love after these last couple of weeks, though.
It's tough because only one. It's only one guy on each side of the ball gets it, right?
Correct. Yeah, just one.
I mean, dude, Xavier McKinney, like, dude, I love you, but you really fucked up.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve that level of responsibility. Come back and earn it and maybe get it back next year. But I'm really loving a pun, I guess, intended, damn it, what Love is doing back there. But, Tommy, I will say, with all due respect, McLeod has earned a right to be on this team. Like, you're not happy that he's your number one or number two corner by any means, but a special teams player that none of us knew who the heck he was before the end of the season. Yeah, he let up some plays last night, but he was right there. I mean, just some good pitches and catches. Like, I'd be happy to have McLeod be competing to be our, you know, fourth, fifth DB next year. But yeah, there's no doubt.
Can we look a little better with Adoree Jackson there on that last drive? Where, I mean, the only saving grace there is I thought, wow, these guys are going to score. They're going to leave us a minute and 20 seconds and two timeouts. You know, also they had to get the 2-point conversion. But, I Adoree Jackson, does he slow Terry McLaurin down a little bit? Is he covering him a little bit better? I think so. You know, not saying I don't want the guy on the roster, but we got to get these starters back. And I think it also allows Wink to do more of the things that he wants to do, although it's his highest blitz rate, you know, of his career, even more than when he was in Baltimore with what he does.
No more punt returns for Jackson. Please. What are we doing?
I think Richie James has looked better, right? He's come back from the concussion. You know, he let one go last night that, you know, I kind of went, ooh, field position. But you know what? A muff there. And we're giving them the ball inside the 20. So, you know, I'll take it. And what did that lead to? I believe that led to the 98-yard drive. So,
well, great. Or 30-yard return or what have you. But I don't know why we're talking about Richie James right now. The more important part is, of course, Xavier McKinney and Adoree Jackson solidifies the back end of this defense. Yeah, Jason Pinnock and Nick McLeod have been nice stories. It's great that we're getting some production from them. But there's a reason that they're cast off from other teams that aren't exactly playoff contenders necessarily or, you know, special teamers and undrafted free agents. You look at what this means. What the F would this look like is that this would be the closest version of the Giants defense that we envisioned before this season all coming together. Can you imagine the pressure that Azeez, Thibodeau, Leo Williams, and Dexter Lawrence have been applying and now you add two above average DBs to this defense right now, a second, a half second is an eternity in the NFL. Now, Darisaw is a very good player, and they have some decent offensive line, but I don't think the Vikings offensive line, they've let up 40 sacks this year. They're not elite.
And Cousins isn't that mobile.
No.
I think they give us a chance.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
we have a much better chance at going
We're
in
We're only 3.5 point underdogs.
And pulling the upset with those guys on the field and healthy. I don't know if it happens, you know, but if any week they're going to have a letdown, they clinch the division, biggest comeback in NFL history. You know, Matt Ryan's on the other side of history again. So, you know, does Minnesota come out and, you know, lay the egg? I'll take it. I don't think the Giants win, but we'll get to that in a little bit.
Well, Tommy, what a marvelous segue, because that's going to do it for What the F Would That Look Like, and we're going to roll right into Huge Predictions. Huge Predictions is not brought to you by Facilla Automotive, but we're working on it. So if anybody knows their VP of marketing, please hit us up at bigblueallday.com. Tonight on Huge Predictions, we will pick the Giants' Christmas Eve primetime matchup versus the Vikings in Minneapolis.
All right, my huge prediction is, I mean, is it that huge? I don't know, but the Giants' secondary somehow, some way, holds Justin Jefferson under 80 yards.
I love it. I love it.
It's insane, but it's just crazy enough to come true.
I mean, the dude has what?
He's incredible.
He has 1,600 receiving yards on the season. You know, honestly, interestingly enough, as much as I would love that, I would rather see the Giants hold Dalvin Cook to under 80 yards overall. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
After last week's, you know, tackling with Brian Robinson, Antonio Gibson, my huge prediction is the big three of Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson, and Dalvin Cook put up 300, 100-plus, 100-plus on the Giants, and it's a sad Christmas Eve for the Giants fans. Enjoy the presents Christmas morning, but I think we're looking at a double-digit loss.
What do you got? What's the score?
27-10.
Oh!
Tough. Hey! Tough.
But, hey, if Disciples' prediction comes true, my huge prediction for myself is it's going to be a rough Christmas morning because I will be riding high on a giant upset.
A little whiskey in the eggnog there for Santa, Tommy. But it's a bad day when the ever-plucky, optimistic Tommy is predicting a double-digit blowout. So I think, Giants fans, if you want to be optimistic, look at the first half of the game against the Colts. I'll be nervous about the Colts, but be happy that the Vikings looked like they were shitting their pants left and right at every phase of the game against a bad team. If you want a reason to be really nervous about next week, watch the second half of that game where they had the biggest comeback in NFL history, question mark? So my huge prediction is the Giants are going to make this close. Close as hell. But in the end, 35-28, Vikings. Vikes close it out with a TD drive, giving the Giants about a minute to come back. They can't turn over on downs in midfield. Giants go down with an all-or-nothing game against the Colts the following week.
There's no way we're scoring four touchdowns.
You heard it here. I can't wait to prove you wrong. Still won't get to 30, though. Still will not get to 30.
Do we improve our wide receiver core and take a look at Sammy Watkins if we can get a waiver claim in on him?
I mean, it's worth a shot, but like
he's even in Green Bay, they thought maybe they had something. In Kansas City, he's not the guy. So is he going to come in here where he doesn't have a number one in front of him and a number two and come in here and be better than the guys that we have out there? I'm sure it comes cheap for him to finish out the year. Maybe gives us a little boost. But I take a shot.
All we have heard is where Aaron Rodgers doesn't have any receivers. The receiver cores are terrible. And they just sent this dude packing. I mean, sure, kick the tires on him, but I wouldn't really be overly optimistic. At this point, let's give, you know, Isaiah Hodgins the burn. You know, roll with the guys that have got us here this far. But you know, we'll see if he's willing to take an absolute cheap nothing deal to try and play this season. But all right, gentlemen, let's not bicker over who killed who. And let's just end tonight with the fact that the NFL simply is not aware. The Giants are young.
They're aggressive.
They're improving.
New York.
Football.
Giants.
God, I love that. For the Disciple and Tommy, I'm Mac. We're Big Blue all goddamn day. Good night.